This is Scott from Reno, Nevada, fan of the greatest jersey in all of sports, frankly. And by that, of course, I'm referencing the Arizona Coyotes Kachina jersey. Come on, Adam, you know it's true. And you are all listening to the Pro Hockey News Podcast.
Welcome in to another edition of the Pro Hockey News Podcast. We actually have a true first line edition. Adam Minnick, Lonnie Goldsmith, who I think is a third liner now. With the minutes played statistics that we got going on. Richard Cote, who's more than a first liner, executive producer extraordinaire of the brought to you by MyCustomSportsShare.com Pro Hockey News Podcast. Richard, haircut? Was he a haircut there? Is that or just styling?
No, I'm in bad need of a haircut. Oh, this is my hair product. Extremely long right now, so I can't really do it the way I normally do it with short hair. Have to go with the part.
You're styling it though. You're actually working to it. Yeah. I like it. Yeah. I like it.
Well, thanks.
I got nothing for your hair, Lonnie. Nothing. Nothing.
It's there. It's about the extent of it.
Before we get into hockey, Lonnie's having a banner week. His number one baseball team TV broadcast just got way better.
Yes.
In the Jason Benetti hire. The school that he hates very much in college football is getting slapped and laughed at, even though I don't know what banning from the sideline on game day means. Still need a clarification.
I haven't read anything yet, but I'm not sure it really makes a difference.
Yeah, because we won't talk about your actual team's performance on the field for college football.
We're not going to do that.
And your hockey team's actually not terrible.
No, neither my pro nor my college hockey team are terrible. I'm enjoying this. Right.
And your pro football team is really, unless they fall over themselves, they're going to the playoffs.
Oh, why'd you guys put that in the universe?
It's a week.
Have you seen the NFC North?
No. First of all, have you seen the other NFC North? Second of all, I've decided I've spent all, 48 and a half years of my life, not worried, worried about what the consequences are going to be of, putting things out into the universe like this. This year with the Lions, as my wife and, my kids and my dad and my brother can all attest, we're done. We're just speaking it because not saying anything and not putting it out into the universe hasn't mattered. So we're going all in. We're going all in.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you're having a great sports week, man.
It's been pretty good. I've definitely some low moments, mostly in East Lansing, but the hockey team is stellar. Like, top 15 team looking really good, like bona fide prospects on it. It's been a long time since we've been able to say that about Michigan State hockey.
That is true. But like, as bad as your football team is, once again, Big Brother is embarrassing itself. So it helps a little bit.
It takes a little bit of heat off.
It's a shame your wife isn't into the football program. So you could really take pride in it and like gloating about it at home does nothing because she just doesn't care.
She's into the football. It's the basketball.
I bet she doesn't care about this stuff going on though. It doesn't seem to be her MO.
She hasn't been paying attention to it.
Yeah. Yeah. See, it's yeah. And they're still going to kill you in head to head. So
absolutely. And here's the thing. I mean, see, Adam, the difference is we are extremely online people. She is not.
That's true.
She knows very little of what's happening and we know far too much.
And because we know so much, it makes us trusted sources on this great podcast that we do.
That's right.
Yes. Yes. Let's turn to hockey, gentlemen. Oh boy. Let's just go to the bottom of the standings because that's what we're going to do. Oh, I think it's time to press the panic button. If you're the Oilers, I know a couple weeks ago I was saying, let's see how they go. And Richard, I'm panicking. If I'm an Oilers fan, like it's a disaster.
Oh, last time we met, I was saying press that panic button because that offense was not coming through. I know McDavid was injured for a couple of weeks. He's back. He's doesn't look healthy. Doesn't look his best.
No,
I think everything else on that team is just falling apart.
Lonnie, I think he hurried back.
I think he did too. And I think the unfortunate timing of the Heritage Classic had something to do with that. I gotta believe holy cow, is it bad?
You're tied with the San Jose Sharks in the standings, bad.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, 50 goals allowed in 12 games. Now, it's interesting. I don't know the source of it, but Greg Wyshynski from ESPN tweeted somebody's complaint, somebody in Edmonton, a writer in Edmonton, complaining that teams just play defense against them. And if teams would stop parking the bus and like clogging up the middle of the ice, then it would be easier for Edmonton. Well, yeah. So you're doing exactly what you're supposed to do against a team of that kind of speed and skill, is you make it really hard for them to get to the dangerous areas and you don't give up the middle of the ice. It's like teams finally watch tape and learned how to defend the superior skill that they have.
In the defense of that idea, the NHL did change rules because Detroit was winning cups and everybody was tired of the left wing lock. So they changed rules.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if we can figure that out, I'm sure the NHL will do it because they want offense. So, I mean, what a stupid complaint.
Right. Like,
is a lot of heat's getting on Woodcroft, because Woodcroft, well, he doesn't have a solid goalie. So we've got that. That's a problem. So that's on the GM's, right? GM's office that we've seen. But as what's been documented is he's changed his defensive system, and potentially he's changed it from zone to man on man, which players don't like the man-to-man defense. Most recently, Jeremy Colliton lost his job in a rebuild situation, though. Well, pre-rebuild, I guess. But how much of this is Woodcroft on the firing block? Because if you're changing your defensive system and your defense isn't working, and the GM's not going to admit it's his fault, right, for not getting a goalie, is Woodcroft, like, are we about to see a coaching change?
Well, it sounds like, based on what's out there on Twitter, that Woodcroft is at least safe through the road trip they got coming up. But I can't imagine he will be for much longer. On the other hand, I mean, Ken Holland did not do such a bang-up job in the offseason filling the needs this team had. And at some point, like, you can get rid of the coach, that's fine, but you know, you don't have Scotty Bowman carrying you to a bunch of cups like he did in Detroit. It's going to be real difficult to keep the heat off himself in the GM's office. I mean, he's got one move with the coach to try to light a fire. That's it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's something.
I don't know. The coach is trying a few new things. We know that Edmonton has had goalie issues for, well, ever, to be honest. He's trying out a few new things on defense. Yes, they are not working, but you're also not getting anything to spark the offense. You're not changing anything up in the offense. Like you said, teams are figuring out how to defend against Draisaitl and McDavid. I don't know. Split them up, move things around, try and figure out different ways to score. That's how teams, you know, get past these roadblocks, how they get past these techniques to keep you from scoring. You got to change things up on both ends, you know, not just, you know, don't throw it all on the defense and the goaltending. You got to throw it on the offense as well.
And what's most interesting is Thomas Drantz put this out there in the whole Park the Bus and from the Edmonton Journal. I laughed when I saw this. In the last 1500 NHL games, 3.15 goals per team have been scored. Goals per game per team. That mm-hmm. is the highest. That's the first time it's been over 3.15 since the adoption of the butterfly goalie in the early 90s.
Wow.
So goals were up high back then. They went to the butterfly. Goalies got better, right? Because we saw that kind of go down in the 90s and all the rules changed after that. So we are actually seeing in the last 1500 NHL games, more goals scored in 30 years.
Yep.
So no, it's not a systematic issue. It's Edmonton not adjusting to how teams are defending them.
That's right.
Exactly.
It's really that simple. The data proves it, guys.
Thank you for breaking that down.
I mean, if Woodcroft changes defensive system and it's not working and he's not changing the offensive system which is clearly not working currently, don't you have to fire him? Not that I'm a proponent of people losing jobs, but at the same time, how can he be safe for the rest of the year when clearly he changed something that has made the defense worse and he hasn't changed something to make the offense better? They are almost letting up as many goals as San Jose, even though they're scoring almost three times as many goals because San Jose can't score. Talk about off. But I mean, like, you are tied with the San Jose Sharks a dozen games into the season.
Yeah.
I mean, you have 5 points in 12 games.
With two of the top five players in the world on your team.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, the coach 100% deserves to be fired because your job is to get the best out of your team. And right now you are not doing your job.
And the other problem that Woodcroft has and the organization has as a whole isn't just the 5 points in 12 games, because obviously that's abysmal. But it's, you look at second place in the standings. Vancouver's out to a 10-2-1 start that I'm not sure most people, any people, expected to happen. Like, those are one of the teams that were supposed to be safely below you, and they are blowing the doors off the NHL right now.
With the best goal differential in the league.
With the best goal differential in the league, with the leading goal scorer, with the leading point getter.
And not losing at home.
And not losing at home.
Like, yes. This, I mean, that's what you have to measure against. Like, the Kings were the upstart team. Okay, they were going to battle for the division in theory. We all know that Vegas is Vegas. No. Apparently, the Vegas flu affects the Stanley Cup hangover. Because I guess it doesn't happen in Vegas. Hangovers just don't happen in Vegas, apparently.
No, you just
hydrate.
Keep going.
Hydrate. Yeah. Hydrate.
So I guess it applies to hockey teams is what we're learning, too, is that there is no Stanley Cup hangover in the Vegas desert.
No, I mean, a Vegas-Vancouver 1-2 in the Pacific was at this point in the season. And yeah, full caveat, long way to go, right? Yeah. We haven't, long way to go. Nobody had this. Well, nobody.
And even on top of, I think, Vancouver, Lonnie, the Ducks.
Yes.
Who are currently rebuilding and looking for a top five draft pick are in danger of making the playoffs.
Yep.
Like, this is what Edmonton is comparing. The only good thing that Edmonton can say is Calgary's having an issue, so the Battle of Alberta becomes a little less problematic because both teams suck.
Yeah, but nobody thought the Battle of Alberta was going to be for a lottery position.
Correct.
No.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine both Albertan teams in the lottery? Jeez. Oh, my God.
Just the province will burn. No, I think you're right about Anaheim. I think 14 points out of 12 games is a really nice start. Definitely a little bit – playing a little bit better than I think most people thought they would. I think the Kings – I think there were expectations for the Kings, and I think people, if they didn't make the playoffs, I think people would be disappointed. But I think, 8-2-3, 19 points out of 13 games, that's a really – nice start, and they're plus 16.
How they're doing it is what's really interesting, Lonnie.
Yeah,
look at the home road breakdown. That is, I saw that the other day. Shocking. 7-0 on the road. They're at 1-2-3 at Staples. I mean, they can't win at home.
It's, I've never been to Staples or whatever we're calling it now. We're just going to call it Staples. Who are we kidding?
Are they the crypto one now?
I
think so.
Maybe. Are they Crypto Arena or is that?
We're gonna go with Staples though.
Okay. The LA thing.
The LA multi-sport, the downtown multi-sport arena. I don't know what it is like atmosphere wise. It's just, unless you're the Lakers, any of the LA sports, I think really struggle with sort of home field advantage. You look at the two football teams. There's gonna be more road fans. At SoFi for a football game, then you'll have home fans.
Well, definitely for one of the two teams. But Rich, you know who would be an expert? Richard, can you get Al Michaels booked to talk Kings atmosphere hockey? Can you work on that as the executive producer?
Absolutely, I'll call the contact I have right now.
Okay, I think he'd be the one that can help us on that. Stay tuned, folks. We may get Al Michaels on a later episode to talk about this, but that's a great idea, Lonnie. I'm glad you kind of put that out there.
Thanks.
I don't care what the atmosphere is. I don't think you can sustain one win and seven tries at home to be a playoff team. I think they got to fix that.
And seven wins and seven tries on the road. No,
yeah.
It's not a sustain. I mean, look, it's not sustainable. I don't think anybody thinks this is a sustainable, you know, split either way. That said, I think that, you know, I think both will level out. And I think the Kings have the pieces. They have the veteran leadership that this may, believe it or not, may work out okay.
And here's my problem with them losing at home. It's who they're losing to. They're like, you want to judge yourself versus the other good teams, right? Mm-hmm. So at home, they've lost to Colorado, giving up five goals. They gave up five goals to Carolina. They gave up four goals to Boston at home. They beat Arizona, because who doesn't? They gave up four goals to Vegas, and they gave up four goals to Pittsburgh. Like, they are losing to teams that are potential playoff teams on their home ice. And their only win is Arizona.
They're losing the games you would expect a sort of playoff hopeful. I don't consider them a playoff lock at this point. I don't think we would have going into the season. I think they're losing to the teams that you would expect a team at their sort of station to lose.
But I watched this game the other night at a local establishment in Boise, Idaho. They dominated Vegas. Vegas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's they've got to fix something. I mean, they're playing well. Like I said, they're on a run of four of the last five. They've got points in six, I think, eight straight games now. Points in eight straight games. But yeah, I mean, man, we're talking a lot about the good old Pacific. But yeah, I mean, it all goes back to the kind of close this thought out is I think Edmonton needs to trim some things like you do with a Manscaped razor. That's what I would do.
Would you?
Yeah. Yeah, go to manscaped.com/PHN, get a discount. You can trim things, make yourself look better, just like Edmonton needs to trim their coaching staff. That was all right. That's pretty good. All right and pretty really, Richard? That was less obvious. I mean, that was I even made it hockey related. Come on.
Okay.
He holds you too high a standard.
I've heard you do better ones this season, so I don't know. Maybe I'm spoiled. Man, well, Alani's fresh this season, so he's easy to impress.
Fair enough. Let's go to the East. I'm going to make a bold prediction.
Okay.
The Atlantic is getting five playoff teams.
That's not bold.
I think at this point, the more I look at this, I think the Atlantic's getting five. I think both wild cards are coming from those guys. The Metro is turning into a have and have nots, and the guys that are in the middle of the pack, I don't think they're going to get better.
I had higher hopes for the Islanders, but yeah, everybody else underneath there, they're kind of where I thought they were going to be this season. I don't know if that's a bold prediction. It's an early prediction, but I'm with you. I think five teams coming out of the Atlantic.
I think three out of the Metro is going to be interesting because that means no Ovi or no Crosby.
Washington, come on.
I know.
The no Crosby is a more surprise than no Ovi.
Yeah.
I mean, Washington's not set up. Washington's biggest marketing thing is, can he catch Gretzky? They're not a good team. They're not.
No, I mean, I think there's I've been on the Islanders bandwagon, you know, for a while now, and I think it's time to finally get off. I think they'll make a move because it's what Lou does, but I'm not sure that they've got the, and we'll see what that move is. I'm just not sure they got the pieces as it sits right now.
I don't think to get the top three is changing. I think the Rangers, Hurricanes, Devils are going to be in the top three all year. The only team I wonder if Pittsburgh can get into the four spot. I have more confidence in them than the Islanders.
Yeah.
Because of goaltending and just top six scoring.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't. And then you look at the Atlantic, and I mean, the teams are good and they're going to have to start beating up on each other. And there's going to be a lot of 500 records kind of parse it out. So maybe the Metro can pick up a fourth because of that. But I mean, Ottawa's in last place at 5-7. And their offense is looking good. they just got to keep pucks out of net, but they're scoring. They're fun. Yeah. They're a disaster. Their new owner, by the way, their new owner. God, I love those comments last week. Like, good. Welcome to the NHL. And he says, F you to the league. Love it. Love it. Love honesty.
Well, they've already approved them. It's too late now. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's refreshing because NHL owners don't do that. I mean, you've got basically the whole division is 500 and above, really.
Yeah.
And I don't see those teams getting worse.
I mean, just out of natural attrition, they're going to have to.
I mean, you have Buffalo in there, so they're going to drop. We know that. Come January, there's going to be a nosedive.
I think Montreal has a bigger floor than anybody in that division.
Yeah.
I think Montreal is poised to make the biggest drop out of any team in that division.
And again, and I think that happening isn't necessarily an indictment of the team we're talking about. It's just the nature of the rest of the division.
Yeah.
Yes.
Toronto's going to get better.
Toronto's going to get better.
And Florida's going to get better when they get their hang. I mean, making it to the Stanley Cup, long season, short off season. And all Tampa has to do is hang around until January when Vasilevsky's back, and they automatically get better.
Right.
I mean, it was interesting thoughts on a couple podcasts that are going. The Athletic had it, and 32 Thoughts was talking about it, that Vasilevsky's targeted to come back mid-December, they're saying. If they're in a top four spot, do you tell them, hey, take another 10 days? I mean, for an injury like that with a goalie who moves a lot, I mean, you can slow play him. Oh, and by the way, it helps the salary cap too.
I was going to say, wouldn't they push that back to the trade deadline?
I mean,
if they could wait that long?
I think they're going to ride it out as long as they can for cap purpose, for health purpose, for all of the reasons. I'm not surprised if they're going to slow play his return as much as they can.
Yeah, I don't see that. I don't see a weakness, and I really don't see a true weakness in that. To me, Montreal is the weakest team because there's something about Ottawa that I'm liking a little bit of what they put together, and okay. I don't know why. I can't explain it because they've lost a lot, but there's something about it I like.
This is definitely the best they've looked in five seasons.
Yeah,
when they made the playoffs back in 2017. I mean, we've seen a lot of bad hockey coming out of Ottawa this season. They've lost a few unfortunate games, but yeah, I'm with you. It's entertaining. They're definitely scoring more than they have in the past. They're showing signs of life, which is refreshing from the Senators.
Yeah. It's good for the game if the Senators can be good with this new ownership. It all kind of lines up and arena talk and all that. So
yeah,
that's on the ice. Oh boy. You know, NHL does giveaways, right? They're doing jerseys and things like that. FOCO does giveaways too. Bobbleheads and the like. Check them out at foco.com. Tell them PHN sent you. Speaking of giveaways and specialty stuff, I am loving, Richard, teams and players giving the old middle digit to the league. You found this, and oh boy, do I love this.
Yeah, I mean, I happened to come across this. The NHL's been keeping a blog of some of the specialty jerseys that have been worn by players to the games, because we know this season, like special night jerseys, special cause jerseys are not allowed during warmups.
Hold on. Repeat whose blog this is. Like,
oh, this is the league's blog.
The league on the league website. Yes.
On their own website is documenting every time a team has a special event night, they put together special jerseys. And they showcase the players coming in. All of these are being auctioned off. The money is going towards the causes they're for, which is fantastic. And I'm loving this, not just because it is just a middle finger to the league by the players and by the teams, but because they're now actually able to incorporate more into these special nights. Because there are things that I haven't seen in the past. I mean, we've seen the Hispanic Heritage jersey. Hispanic Heritage Month jerseys. We've seen the Pride Night jerseys. I have not seen the Nevada Day jersey from the Vegas Golden Knights. That was a thing. Hockey Fights Cancer, we've seen that one. But, you know, different causes, Teacher Appreciation Night, they had special, teacher jerseys that players wore to the game auctioned off. So I was really upset when the league came forward and said, hey, you're not allowed to wear any of these specialty jerseys during warmups. I thought that was a ridiculous rule. I thought people who get upset by having to wear a jersey for a cause that they don't believe in during a warmup was quite ridiculous, because as Adam has pointed out in the podcast before, you don't have to participate in warmups to participate in the game. That doesn't make you ineligible. But being able to see, all sorts of new stuff come in and, you know, expanding beyond, just the traditional Knights, it's really neat to see this happen in the league and players like start to embrace this.
So Lonnie, you've got players and teams wearing the jerseys into the arena that they're not allowed to wear in warmups. You've got teams posting on their social, and then the league is picking it up and documenting every single one of these socials on their blog website.
Make it make sense.
Talk about not, is this not getting out of your own, or getting out of your own? Like what even is this?
It's the kind of confused logic we expect out of Gary Bettman.
Or is this like he has to know this is going on. Is this like, it's too late to go. Like, I don't want to look like a fool going back, so I'll let it be on our website and let the like, I just don't understand how you hey, we screwed up. We're done.
Right. Because they can't admit they screwed up, because that's not what leagues do, for starters. Second of all, it's about the Pride Night jerseys. I think we all know that that's what this is about. And so the easiest way to do it is make it an optional thing for players to wear in on a certain night if they want to. You don't wear it on the ice. Nobody gets to see it. And therefore, in the NHL's mind, you get the best of both worlds. You get the photos of the players walking in with them, and you get to sell them and make money off it. Now, I think it's spineless and cowardly, but again, Gary Bettman.
I'm here for it. I love what the teams are doing with all this.
Two different conversations, I think.
Right. No, I absolutely think that the league is, with their ruling at the beginning of the season, was a huge swing and a miss, a giant slap of duct tape on a problem that wasn't ever really there. And Lonnie, as you had mentioned, we know 100% this is because of the Pride Night jersey. It had nothing to do with any of the others, but it's throw the kid out with the bathwater, solve that problem. But teams are finding creative ways to, circumvent the rules, since they're not allowed to wear this on the ice during warmup. They're going to wear it before the game, and they're going to post it all over their social media. So the league is now forced to embrace it, because fans are going to see it on social media and they're going to get upset at the league for not acknowledging it.
But we also know that they're not making these jerseys. I mean, they're Adidas jerseys. They're not, the products aren't being made without the league's knowledge and approval anyway. That all of that said, all of the Dia de los Muertos jerseys, the Kings, the Ducks, I mean, just absolute bangers of special jerseys. Just incredible. Flipping through the blog, it's just, there's some just unbelievable stuff.
I love the Ducks one. That one's just sweet.
I think the Ducks one is great. I think the Coyotes one is great. They did a really, really strong job with these, their Dia de los Muertos or Hispanic Heritage Night, whichever nights they wanted to do it. They've done such a cool job. I think the two Sharks ones that are on this blog, for both Diwali and for Hispanic Heritage Month, both fantastic.
Yeah, they've all been good. The Pride Night one for Arizona is probably the worst, because it's got the Kachina involved in it. But otherwise, they've all been great.
I mean, like the Bruins Cancer Awareness Night one, It's not new. It's one.
No, the cancer awareness has become. I think that's kind of all that's been the same.
Yeah,
just a few different tweaks, but
the cause is wonderful. The jersey itself is just sort of, you know, it's a lavender version of the jersey.
And I think that's where we're going to see this really like flourish is when you have so many different causes now, you can specialize the jersey to each one. It's not going to have to be a league uniform. You can, you know, partner with local artists to actually create something.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's just, once again, the NHL marketing itself, even though it doesn't want to bring attention to itself about a PR mess up that it did to itself.
Yep.
It's genius.
Yep.
God love them. We got fun news. Jaromír Jágr getting his jersey retired February 18th in Pittsburgh. It's the first jersey retirement for him.
And it's right that Pittsburgh gets first.
Yeah. I mean, there's like seven other choices potentially down the line.
Is it going to be weird when they sign him to play for the team the night that the jersey gets retired? Because would you put anything past him?
I don't know what his contract in the Czech League states. I don't know what if he's allowed to play in the NHL.
But he owns the team he plays for. I'm pretty sure he can make it work.
He could waive it.
So is that going to be a second? Is he going to retire his own number in Czech? So he'll have two jersey retirements.
You have to. He's the greatest player to play for that team too.
And Richard,
even at 50 years old,
right? Yeah. Well, it's like the third tier league. I mean, it's
that's true. It's a lower bar,
but still,
Richard, you want Florida to retire his jersey? You said right.
I
make a case.
Okay. You know, he played, you know, three seasons there. They had some great teams with him. Let's see, over 100 games played with them, over plus 30, goals. Let's see.
You're not trying to do some
simple math
here. He won the Masterson.
Yeah. 40-ish goals. Just quick math here. You know what? Three seasons, I say Florida, go ahead. Retire his number if you'd like. You got nothing else to celebrate, right?
I mean, it's the only time he's ever gotten votes in the Masterson was when he was in Florida and he happened to win it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he persevered.
Playing in front of a half-empty crowd every night, you'd have to persevere to...
Oh, it's such a bad arena. It's one of my least favorite arenas I've ever been to.
Yeah.
I don't like that building.
Well, Adam, you had a strong case. The Rangers?
Yeah, I mean, over a point game there, over 300 points. Retire. Put it up there. Put it in the MSG rafters. It's an original six franchise.
Right.
Oh, people would revolt.
Coming off a lockout, his age 33 God. Season in New York, 54, 69 for 123 and a plus 34.
Yeah, runner up to the Hart that year.
That is wild.
Runner up to the Hart, but won the Pearson. So the players said, "Yeah, you're our best." The Hart, not voted on by the players, said, "Yeah, not so much. You're number two." Jumbo Joe Thornton.
Yeah,
Jumbo Joe got that one. Who also just retired.
96 assists that season for Thornton.
Yeah, hit a year.
Yeah.
Jágr, it's... So, I mean, are we finally putting a cap on his NHL career because he's getting a jersey retirement?
I think you have to. And there's no way he's coming back at 50-plus to play in the NHL.
If you look at his season by season, he took 4 years off of the NHL, played for Philly. At age 39, played 73 games off of, you know, a 4 year absence, but then split a year with Dallas and Boston, you know, a year with New Jersey, split a year with New Jersey and Florida, and then two more with Florida, and then quarter of a year with Calgary. I mean, it's probably time. It definitely tailed off a bit.
I think the biggest coming of this is the repairing a relationship. So history. I don't know if young Richard Cote will remember this, but after he played for the Rangers, he was a free agent. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh offered him to come back in the 10-11 season. I don't remember what the contract details were, but it was a 10-11 season. The year he went to Philly, And they booed the crap out of him in Pittsburgh early in the season when he returned, because Pittsburgh let it out that he turned down a free agent offer with them and signed with the rival Flyers. Fast forward from 2011 to 12 years later, I guess 13 years later, because they'll be in 24, and he's getting his jersey retired.
You think the fans are going to forget that?
Oh, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Look, it's, you know, similar. It's the case I've made for Fedorov having his jersey retired in Detroit. We all remember him leaving for the Ducks at one point. We all remember the contract, the offer sheet with the poison pill that Carolina tried to sign him to, that the Wings met. Like, we remember all of that. And every Red Wing fan, to a person, I'll bet you would say, put 91 up in the rafters. Fans forget the off the ice stuff. Lot easier.
Well, fans also forget the on the ice while going, or going off the ice after being on the ice, because Montreal did retire Waugh's jersey 5 years after he got it retired in Colorado.
Right.
And he didn't exactly leave Montreal in the happiest of ways.
Whoa. Like he was traded mid-game or something like that? Ah, no way.
No, it was the leaving him in to take 10 goals from Detroit.
That too
was the problem. And then, I mean, this is the beauty of the old Montreal Forum. If you've seen, I mean, we've all seen that clip where there's basically no glass between the Montreal bench and the stands where the owner sits, where he walked over to the owner and said, "I'm never playing for you again." Yes. And then walked down the tunnel. I'm sure in French, and I'm sure there was some more colorful language thrown into it. But
Patrick Roy, colorful language? No.
No.
We've never seen that in anything he's done. So, yeah. So, while getting retired, it'll be fun.
Yager
getting retired from the 18. They are. This is it's going to celebrate 68 festival. They're calling it. They're going to raise his banner. And then also on March 14th, they are going to give away a Yager bobblehead. So February 18th, go see his banner retired versus the Kings. And if you want to see the San Jose Sharks play, your consolation prize is a bobblehead of Yager.
Mostly if you want to see
Penguins jersey, most likely.
I was going to say, if you want to see the Penguins win, you'll go see him.
March 14th, circle on your calendar.
Yeah, exactly.
Item. And it's good to throw it up against a bad opponent, because you got to help, boost that ticket sale.
Yeah. What will San Jose's minus goal differential be by March 14th?
By March 14th. Oh, geez.
I think they're averaging like 35 a month. So
yeah.
December, January, four. I mean, they could be like over 200 minus by then.
I
was going to put about 180. A minus 180.
They're historic. No hope in sight. They're not even trying to tank.
And yet they beat the Oilers.
Right.
Listen, the beginning of this podcast.
I know, that's right. So we call that a callback.
Yeah, that is a callback. That is a callback in the industry. Oh, yeah. Okay, gentlemen, it's Richard, it's your favorite time.
Oh, is it time for the Bet 99 PHN picks of the week?
It is.
All right. And Lonnie's first. Of the season.
Yes.
It is.
Yes, it is. Yes.
We are all 500.
We are all five, except for Lonnie.
No, he's 500. He's won as many games as he lost.
That's right.
That's true. He's got zeros across the board.
We're even. He's at zero. Yeah, but we're all even.
We're all even. Yeah.
So it officially starts today.
It starts for Lonnie. The Goldsmith comeback starts.
Not a comeback. It's not a comeback. We're all tied.
You came back to the podcast. You physically came back to the podcast.
That's fair.
All right. So a quick recap over last week, if you care to know about that at all. Coming off of a couple of 3-2 week ones, week two, both Adam and I went 2-3, splitting them up actually very oddly in these games, but we have five fresh games to see who's finally going to pull away.
What's amazing about that, out of the five games, we only picked one the same and we both went 2-3.
Yeah.
I want to know the statistical anomaly of what that is, because that's amazing.
That is amazing, really, because it was only four games and we went 2-3.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So Game number one coming up on Saturday, November 11th, Veterans Day. So thank you to all the veterans who have served and are currently serving. Let's go with the Dallas Stars at the Winnipeg Jets. Adam, who you got?
I'm riding Dallas for a while now. They're so complete. I've gotten to watch a couple of their games in the last week, and man, are they good.
They are. I picked them to win the division. I think I even picked them to go to the Stanley Cup this year. They're surpassing my expectations, at least early on in the season. Lonnie, who you got?
I'm going to go with the home team. I'm going to take Winnipeg. Three game win streak. I think they'll keep it going.
Hold on. Can I back up? If you pick a team to go to the Stanley Cup, how are they surpassing expectations?
I didn't think they were going to be, this strong early in the season. I figured they would win the division, but I thought it was going to be like very back
talking.
And forth.
Just Colorado, stop talking. No, stop talking.
I didn't think they'd be good yet.
It's because I was thinking Colorado was going to be putting up a little bit more of a fight. They've looked really bad in their last few games. So just, I think they're only.
You
a
should probably
edit. Up on
the... If you ever wanted to edit a podcast, this is where you should edit yourself.
No. I would never edit myself to make myself sound better. All right, game number two. We got Carolina at Tampa Bay. Lonnie, start with you.
This should be a feisty one. Carolina's got one on Friday night though. I'm gonna go with Tampa, not having the back to back.
All right, Adam.
Yeah, they're over in Sunrise. That's why I was going to pick Tampa, too. Tampa at home, rested. I like it.
It's not that far of a trip for Carolina, but, they are playing the night before. I'm still going to take the bunch of jerks in that one. I got to go opposite you guys. All right.
It's nostalgia weekend. You've got Carolina, Florida, Tampa playing each other. Southeast Conference love right there, man.
Right?
Who didn't love the Southeast Conference?
One of the worst divisions in sport history.
It's the NFC South of hockey.
Yep.
Ooh, yep. All right. Game number three, we have Vancouver at the Toronto Maple Leafs. I almost said Blue Jays. Wrong sport. Adam, who you got?
Who would have thought that Hockey Night in Canada was going to luck out like this?
Right?
I mean, like, this game got juicy for the Canadian audience there. This is going to be a good game. I'm going to go the upset. Give me the Canucks. Let's have a little fun. Let's ride the Canucks a bit this year.
They're the upset in this game?
I would. Toronto at home, that you got to be favored.
Oh, okay. Lonnie,
Bet 99 has got to be like, I bet you it's -1.5 for Toronto on the Bet 99 site. Okay. Available for Canadian listeners.
All right. Lonnie, who you got?
I'm going to go with not the upset and say Vancouver.
You think Vancouver's favored?
I think it's closer to a coin flip than you think it is. Look, if I gambled, I would not touch this game. I don't think it's an upset if Vancouver wins, not the way they're playing right now.
No. Vancouver's looking, we were just talking about Vancouver's looking really good and on the road, 5-2. So I'm going to go.
By the way, the official line. Yeah, it's 1.5 favorite for Toronto. I told you, I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
Toronto over under 6.5. That's a away from that over under.
That's a large number.
Toronto has a losing record at home. They're 3-4.
Vegas didn't stay in business by being wrong.
All right. Okay.
So you guys can be. Well, Lonnie picked what I picked, just didn't call it an upset. So
yeah,
that's right.
And
you guys shouldn't get credit. If you don't think it's an upset, you don't get the win.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I want an extra half point win because I'm calling it an upset.
Something. You can want that all you want. That's fine. All right.
It's good to want things, Adam.
Exactly. Have goals in life.
Yeah. All right. By the way, this is the stupid part of go ahead. I don't know why you picked this game.
Have you seen the rest of the games this week?
I did. This is not the one I would have picked.
You want to call an audible?
I mean, Arizona, Nashville. Who doesn't want to talk about that?
You?
Nobody. We didn't even talk about Nashville being tied with the Blackhawks. Talk about another problem. Yeah.
All right. Philly at LA. We're going to start with Lonnie.
I know we spent time talking about how bad the Kings are at home. I'm taking the Kings at home. I can't with Philly.
All right. Adam.
I'm doing the same thing. They're in Anaheim the day before. They'll probably like, they'll split the South SoCal trip. I'm not sure which, but I'm going to pick LA.
They could have a week off before, and I'm still taking LA over Philly.
I'm going to go back to their troubles at home. I'm going to take the off chance Philly comes in and upsets LA. I know it's not going to happen, but you know, we just talked about someone that the Kings have one win at home. You can't write on that. All right. Last game. Oh man, this is a rough Saturday to pick games. Washington at the New York Islanders, the game that nobody's going to be tuning into. Adam, who you got?
I think the Islanders. Unless Ovi goes on a big heater, I don't see a lot of wins coming out of the Washington team. Mm-hmm. There's so many holes. So many.
A lot of them in the net, too. All right, Lonnie.
I want a reason to go with Washington, and they just haven't given me one right now still. Like, this far into the season, and I just don't see it. Islanders.
I'm going to have to make this one unanimous. Things are very dire in Washington. All right, that does it for our Bet99 PHN picks of the week. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can find us at PHN Podcast. And if you'd like to share your picks with us on the same platform, I believe it's still known as Twitter, may not be called that, you can use the hashtag PHN Picks.
By the way, just to throw this out there, been watching some stuff in terms, because we talked about Winnipeg and their attendance issues a couple of weeks ago and dollars and cents. Ottawa's home games versus non-prime opponents, you can get in for under $20 on the secondary market. Okay. That's secondary market prices ahead of time and day of game, not changing. Like that's new owner,
that's,
man.
That's not
great. He's had a tough month. Yeah. Tough month.
Yep. So.
Closing thoughts. We always start with Richard. So we are going to start with Richard.
All right. Parting thoughts. Actually, this is big news personally for me. So I don't know if there's anybody out there who's actually going to care anything about it. But I just learned today that there is a brand new Tesla supercharger that has opened in Alamosa, Colorado. Yeah. And for the one person in Alamosa who might be listening to this, congratulations. I'll probably be stopping by through on my way to New Mexico.
Is that why it's exciting? Because it's going to help you on your trip down to the 505?
It gives me something else to drive rather than I-25.
Why would you drive anything but I-25?
Have you driven that stretch between Raton and
Las Vegas? Yeah, but you know how much longer that takes? You're adding like an hour, hour and a half to the drive.
I don't care about how much time I'm in the car. There's nothing to look at on that stretch of I-25. Just nothing. It is the most mind. I mean, yeah, it is the most mind-numbing drive.
As Lonnie and I would tell you, welcome to being a road trip kid in the Midwest growing up.
Listen, I have done the I-35 trip from Minneapolis to Des Moines several times this fall already.
And you have wanted to this fall.
And let me tell you, there ain't a whole lot to look at there either. A lot of Iowa is windmills as far as turbines, as far as the eye can see. It's good stuff.
There's not like, yeah, that's I-80, I-55. By 70, we can go a lot of Midwest routes of, you don't see a lot. So, yeah, we have no, Richard, just get there fast. That's the idea of road trips.
Not really. No, I love looking at stuff. Emily loves looking at stuff. Philip loves looking at stuff.
God, you mountain people, and you just can't handle nothing.
No, like, we can't.
sometimes you need to appreciate flat land. Just appreciate it sometimes.
No.
Okay.
Give me some contours.
This guy. But yeah, but of course you two can nerd out in your supercharges because you're one of those people. Yeah.
Yeah. Lonnie, can you use the superchargers?
Only if it has the magic dock.
Okay.
Wait, that's actually the name of it?
Yeah.
Oh my God. You guys are special. This is where we differ. We agree on a lot of things in the world of not forget the EV stuff. I'm hybrids as far as I go.
Okay.
I'm on Cass. It goes places. Quicker stops. Don't need magic pumps. Just give me 86 of an octane and we're good. Maybe 87 in the right state.
Lonnie, I think
we struck a nerve. If you're unlucky. Lonnie, you gotta stop. Anytime you want to jump in and stop me, Lonnie, go ahead.
Okay, so the really struggling for anything interesting to say, as per usual, Adam would probably tell you. But the this was on the rundown, and I was really excited to talk about it, and we didn't get to it, so I'm going to bring it up here. The Red Wings Thanksgiving Eve giveaway at Little Caesars Arena is a gravy boat shaped like a Zamboni in Red Wings colors and Wings logo on the side, and it is fabulous. I first saw it, I was not sure it was real, and then saw it on the official some media folks confirmed that it was a real thing for the game against the Devils coming up in a couple weeks from this past Wednesday, and it looks fantastic.
Are you finding some sources to get you one?
Unfortunately, the person I was going to try to cajole to go to the game is going to be in India, so no gravy boat for me.
You don't have other friends?
I'm not sure people who are able to be in town and duck family to go to a game on Thanksgiving Eve know.
You need better friends.
This is true.
You need people with priorities here.
I'd
like to share something. When I saw that pop up, all I could think of is this has got to be the most Midwestern thing ever. Am I incorrect in that?
No, something in the shape of a corn cob seem would be more Midwestern than the gravy boat.
You
got
to keep it hockey themed, right? If you're giving it away at a hockey game.
What could you do?
A gravy corn boat?
Yeah. No, it's
up there.
Definitely up there, I think.
Okay.
I mean, Montreal could do it. I mean, this could be like a poutine giveaway with the gravy boat.
That's true.
Yeah.
Also, but, yeah. I mean, it works, you know, really anywhere for it's right before Thanksgiving. It really is more American than Midwestern.
I guess. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. It's the only thing I will say from the rendering of it. I don't like it's just a straight box like that. You can't like put it on its wheels. It's too boxy for me.
You could roll it across the table.
Yeah, exactly. Could we go to the next level? Maybe next year we can go to the next level on.
Yeah.
But
that's fair.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I really have absolutely nothing to close. Like it is, I am so exhausted from the week of the real life and then leaving again tomorrow to enjoy some time away. I got nothing, guys, but just keep being nice to people. That's it. I'm tired of people not being nice to people. There's too much crap going on for that. So mundane, I know, but I have no words of wisdom this week.
Yeah, sometimes that's just the best answer.
Yeah. So I get that's it. No, I really got nothing. I got nothing. You know, that's really it. I'm older than I was last time we talked, so that's about it. You know, it happened. Still not as old as Lonnie, but that's neither here nor there.
Nope.
So I guess this is also the other part. If I were to edit a podcast to edit some of this.
No, don't leave this in. This is my amazing brain. People can enjoy this. Rate us, subscribe to us, give us a 5-star and then tell us we suck in the comments. That could be a lot of fun. An Apple podcast.
Ooh, I'd love to read those.
Wonder what that would do for the algorithms.
Yeah.
5-star, but like nasty wording.
Mm. Ooh, interesting.
See if you can get your comments read on our podcast.
There you go. You've got a daughter with friends, Lonnie, of that age that could do fun things like that.
I can see if I could try to get them to be creative.
But by the way, when you said sensible, I don't think you have anything of value. That I wouldn't say that. Your daughter would say that more than I would.
That's fair.
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you, Bet99, FOCO, Manscaped, Chicago Wolf Store, mycustomsportswear.com. Lonnie, we appreciate you actually showing up for a change. It's nice of you. You know, we'll put you back on the payroll.
Thank you.
Cote, extraordinaire. Keep editing this because you make it sound really good every week. And what we say is not good. So somehow you did it. Your editing skills are amazing. This is Adam Minnick saying so long on another edition of the Pro Hockey News Podcast.